You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Tonight, the breaking news, the 49-page indictment of former President Trump unsealed. The first time in history a former president is criminally charged by federal authorities. The staggering list tonight of charges laid out before the American people. Donald Trump facing 37 counts for his handling of highly classified documents, including willful retention of government documents, conspiracy, and obstruction. Listed among the sensitive materials, documents concerning nuclear weaponry of the United States, and U.S. vulnerabilities to attack. The indictment includes images of boxes stacked across Mar-a-Lago, including a ballroom, a shower and a bathroom, a storage area. Donald Trump accused of personally being involved in taking documents from the White House, and after authorities asked him to return them, allegedly suggesting hiding or destroying documents, also allegedly asking, what if we just ignored the request? Tonight, an aide to former President Trump also charged in the case, accused of allegedly helping to hide documents at Mar-a-Lago. Pierre Thomas tonight, and our chief legal analyst, Dan Abrams, and our entire team standing by on the gravity of these charges and what this means now in the race for president. Meantime, our political team reaching out to all of the Republican candidates, asking them about the charges revealed today, the alleged evidence. Are the candidates comfortable with the former president holding on to documents involving nuclear secrets and U.S. military vulnerabilities and potential attack plans? Rachel Scott on what these candidates will now have to address. Also on this Friday night, the air quality emergency. More than a dozen states. Rob Marciano timing this out through the weekend. The prime suspect in the disappearance of Natalie Holloway, Joran Vandersloot, making his first appearance in an American court. The charges that brought him here. The mother of four shot and killed during a dispute with her neighbor. Tonight, ABC News obtaining the 911 call from the suspected shooter immediately after the shooting and what she told the dispatcher. On the East Coast tonight, the father drowning while trying to save his daughter, caught in a rip current. And America Strong this Friday night, the kindergarten moment at the end of the year, the one visitor they were not expecting. You won't forget this.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us as we near the end of another week together. And we do begin tonight with the extraordinary details now revealed in this 49-page federal indictment of former President Trump. That indictment unsealed today in the former president's handling of classified documents after he left the White House. 37 counts alleging Trump willfully retained highly classified documents containing the nation's most sensitive secrets, the U.S. nuclear program, the U.S. military, U.S. vulnerabilities to come under attack. The indictment alleges Trump showed those documents to others on at least two occasions, and that when authorities asked him to return all of the documents, alleging Trump obstructed efforts, alleging he suggested hiding or destroying documents, the former president saying he is innocent, insisting he has nothing to hide. Prosecutors allege the former president took dozens of boxes to Mar-a-Lago, and the indictment included images of those boxes allegedly stored in a ballroom, a bathroom, a shower, a storage room. The indictment details two incidents in which the former president allegedly showed those classified documents to people not cleared to see them. One of those moments was recorded, Trump allegedly saying, quote, as president, I could have declassified it. Now I can't, authorities say, indicating Trump knew the rules. Trump's aide, Walt Nauta, also indicted tonight as a co-conspirator accused of allegedly helping to hide documents at Mar-a-Lago. And late today, as we were on the air, special counsel Jack Smith making a rare appearance in public, saying mishandling classified documents puts the national defense at risk, urging Americans to read the indictment to understand the gravity of the charges. We have it all covered tonight, and we begin here with ABC's Chief Justice correspondent Pierre Thomas.
Tonight, the blistering 49-page federal indictment, unsealed by the special counsel. The first ever federal criminal charges against a former president of the United States. The special counsel Jack Smith laying out in chapter and verse, in gripping detail, the evidence they say the former president was personally involved in the willful retention of classified documents and then obstructing efforts by authorities to retrieve them. During his presidency, they wrote, Trump gathered classified documents and other material in boxes, including information regarding defense and weapons capabilities of both the United States and foreign countries, United States nuclear programs, potential vulnerabilities of the United States and its allies to military attack, and plans for possible retaliation in response to a foreign attack. The unauthorized disclosure of these classified documents could put at risk the national security of the United States, foreign relations, the safety of the United States military, and human sources, and the continued viability of sensitive intelligence collection methods. The indictment describes the documents spread out in boxes across Mar-a-Lago, in a bathroom, a ballroom, a shower, documenting everything from U.S. nuclear weapons to what would happen if the U.S. was attacked. In a rare appearance before the cameras, Special Counsel Jack Smith.
Our laws that protect national defense information are critical to the safety and security of the United States, and they must be enforced.
After a seven-month investigation, the special counsel breaking his silence, saying Trump is innocent until proven guilty, but he also made this clear.
We have one set of laws in this country, and they apply to everyone.
And he invited the American people to read the indictment.
I invite everyone to read it in full, to understand the scope and the gravity of the crimes charged.
The documents stored at Mar-a-Lago, which hosted events for thousands of guests. Those documents allegedly unsecured. Prosecutors say after leaving office, Trump showed military documents to people without security clearances on two occasions. Once sharing a classified map related to a military operation with a member of a political action committee, admitting to the man he should not be showing it. The other time during a meeting with a team working on a book. Prosecutors say they have Trump's own words on tape telling the group he still had a sensitive document that he never declassified. It's like highly confidential, secret. This is secret information. Trump is quoted as saying, look at this. This was done by the military and given to me. In that recording, Trump is allegedly showing a document prepared by the Pentagon that outlined a potential plan of attack on Iran. Trump allegedly admitting, as president, I could have declassified, but now I can't. That statement would directly contradict the argument Trump has publicly made, that he declassified any material he took from the White House.
If you're the president of the United States, you can declassify just by saying it's declassified, even by thinking about it.
Prosecutors accused Trump of obstruction by suggesting his attorney falsely represent to the FBI and grand jury that Trump did not have documents called for by the grand jury subpoena, and that his attorney hide or destroy documents. At one point, prosecutors say Trump asked his attorney, wouldn't it be better if we just told them we don't have anything here? The indictment lays out a conspiracy between Trump and his close aide and, quote, body man, Walt Nauta, who allegedly moved 64 boxes to the residence at Trump's direction after the government issued that subpoena. Nauta is now facing multiple charges, too, including obstruction of justice. Tonight, the special counsel arguing Trump knew better by pointing to his own words as a candidate, promising to handle the nation's secrets with the utmost care.
In my administration, I'm going to enforce all laws concerning the protection of classified information. No one will be above the law.
Today, just hours before the charges were unveiled, Trump was spotted on the golf course at his club in Bedminster, New Jersey. He has insisted he has done nothing wrong.
I'm innocent, and we will prove that very, very soundly and hopefully very quickly. Thank you very much.
And so Pierre Thomas with us here again tonight. Pierre, the special counsel could have waited to unseal the indictment on Tuesday when Trump is arraigned in federal court. But of course, he did it today, aware of the vacuum that this would create if the American people were waiting several days to hear what the evidence was. And Jack Smith laid out in detail a speaking indictment, they call it, in granular detail, with images even to help explain the evidence here.
David, the special counsel was under incredible pressure. He knew that he had to speak to the country and on some level justify why he took this extraordinary step. That's why there's so much detail in the indictment, including all those photographs. For his part, Trump spent part of the day attacking the special counsel and his wife on social media, David.
All right, Pierre Thomas leading us off here on a Friday night. Pierre, thank you. The special counsel, Jack Smith, as Pierre just reported, deciding to unseal the 49-page indictment today rather than waiting until the court appearance on Tuesday, fully aware of the speculation, the political discourse that would have filled that time as the American people waited to learn what he had uncovered. I want to bring in our chief legal analyst, Dan Abrams, tonight. And Dan, Jack Smith, also very aware of the history made here, the weight of this moment. In fact, he told the American people, you and I were on the air together when he did this, he invited them to read the indictment to understand the, quote, gravity of what he uncovered. And Dan, Jack Smith also made a point. He talked about the presumption of innocence. I know this struck you as well, essentially saying Trump is innocent until proven guilty. But from a legal perspective tonight, what do you make of the scope of what they found here?
I think what Jack Smith was trying to show here is that this is not just a classified documents case, that this is a case about the most sensitive documents to the national defense and the national security. And secondly, trying to show the lengths to which the former president went to obstruct the investigation, to conceal, to lie about the documents after the FBI had subpoenaed them.
And Dan, the venue, the special counsel could have made the case here for this to be handled in federal court in Washington, D.C. or in Florida. We know this will now play out in Florida. So tonight, what do we know about the judge assigned to the case? What difference does this make, the venue? And why did the special counsel move in this direction?
So I think the special counsel did it because most of the alleged crimes occurred in South Florida. But this is a win for Donald Trump. Better prospective jury pool in South Florida than in Washington, D.C., and in particular, the judge who's at least been initially assigned to the case, Aileen Cannon, maybe a familiar name to many because she was the judge in the early days of the investigation when the FBI was trying to get access to many of these documents. She ruled for Donald Trump against the FBI, got overturned by a higher court. She was appointed by Donald Trump. So that is a big win for Donald Trump, at least in the early stages.
And one last quick question, Dan. This could play out before the election?
It absolutely could. It's going to be largely up to Donald Trump, though. As the defendant in a case, you have a lot more control about the speed of when the trial happens.
Dan Abrams with us all day long here as well. Thank you, Dan. This, of course, will play out before the American people on Tuesday when the former president has been told to appear in federal court in Florida, 3 p.m. in the afternoon to answer these charges. I want to bring in our senior investigative reporter, Aaron Kutursky, tonight. He's in front of the federal courthouse right there in Miami. Aaron, take us through how this will play out on Tuesday.
David, former President Trump is due here at this courthouse on the 13th floor Tuesday afternoon. We expect he will enter a plea of not guilty to those 37 counts. He's going to be arrested, booked, and processed for the second time in 2 months after his indictment in New York. David, the planning for Trump's appearance here in Miami began early this morning, and all day we've seen contingents of officers come around to inspect. Trump's movements on Tuesday are going to be highly choreographed. And with no cameras in federal court, it's unlikely the public is going to see him at all. David?
That was an extraordinary image of the officers there already. Aaron Kutursky tonight. Aaron, thank you. The former president on social media last night actually confirming the news that he had been indicted, saying he was an innocent man. Today, he spent much of the day in Bedminster, New Jersey, surrounded by his small team. I want to bring in John Santucci from our investigative team as well. And John, I asked you earlier today on the air whether or not Trump was watching Jack Smith. And tonight you've confirmed that he most certainly was.
He most certainly was, David. That's right. Donald Trump exiting the golf course at Bedminster, New Jersey, watching special counsel Jack Smith for the first time talk about that indictment. I'm told, David, the former president then flipping through the indictment himself, focused on the photos, some of which, David, were taken by that personal aide. That one photo in particular really bothering Donald Trump, the documents spilling out of a box at Mar-a-Lago. Tonight, David, I am told Donald Trump is resolute and ready for next week. David?
John Santucci here in New York as well. Thank you, John. This all playing out with the race for the White House now well underway. On the Republican side, a crowded field already. And the real question now, how do Republican candidates who want to beat Donald Trump to win the Republican nomination, how do they handle this? Our political team reaching out to every Republican candidate today to ask, are you comfortable with the former president holding on to classified documents, everything from U.S. nuclear capabilities to U.S. vulnerabilities if the U.S. were to come under attack? And how would the U.S. would respond? So did they respond? I want to bring in Rachel Scott. She's live in Iowa tonight. Rachel, I know the team reaching out, asking candidates if they were comfortable with this and if proven true, whether or not there should be any consequences here. This is going to be a very difficult road ahead in answering this question for them.
David, we did ask every single Republican campaign if it is appropriate for the former president to hang on to such sensitive material, and so far, not a single campaign has responded. Every single one of these Republican candidates walking a very fine line here. They know Donald Trump is still the front runner in this race, still extremely popular among Republican voters, and they do not want to push away any of his base that they may need to win the Republican nomination. Former Vice President Mike Pence saying that this is a serious matter, but that it's premature to call on Trump to suspend his campaign. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, who is a former prosecutor himself, told me he wants to read through every single detail of this indictment, but insists that no one is above the law. All of these candidates in such a crowded field will now be under enormous pressure to respond to this indictment now that it is unsealed. As for former President Donald Trump, well, he is back on the campaign trail tomorrow, David.
Rachel Scott in Iowa again tonight. Thank you, Rachel. And we know many Americans at home are asking, what about President Biden? What about Mike Pence after the discovery of classified documents involving both of them as well? Mike Pence was cleared just days ago. He apologized, saying it was a mistake and said he had no idea. And of course, President Biden and the documents discovered in his old office and home still underway. I want to bring in our chief White House correspondent, Mary Bruce, tonight, because, Mary, I know the White House knows that there will be a comparison made here. Questions will be asked. They continue to say this is very different. And on the indictment of Donald Trump tonight, the president was also asked to comment today. What was the response?
David, the president isn't commenting, and he's not going to. He says he hasn't talked to the attorney general about this and doesn't plan to talk to him either. The president doesn't want to say anything that could be seen as interfering with the independence of the Justice Department. But the Trump team says this is all politically motivated, noting that the president, President Biden, is also the subject of a special counsel investigation into his handling of classified documents. But David, there are key differences here. Biden says he didn't know the documents were in his possession. He quickly turned them in when they were discovered and is fully cooperating with authorities. While Trump allegedly willfully took classified documents, concealed them, and conspired to obstruct justice. David.
All right. Mary Bruce and our entire team tonight. I thank you all. Thank you, Mary. When we come back on a Friday night, the air quality emergency, more than a dozen states tonight. And Rob Marciano is standing by to time this out over the weekend. And then here on the East Coast tonight, the father who died while trying to save his daughter in the water.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Tonight, the air quality emergency from the Canadian wildfires. Several states still. Let's get right to Rob Marciano tracking this right through the weekend for us. Hey, Rob.
Hi, David. Well, at least we saw some improvement today, but the storm that's going to bring us closer to the finish line will be in the midsection of the country tomorrow. Severe weather with it in Dallas and the Ark-La-Tex. Could see some tornadoes, damaging winds, and then by Sunday, it gets into the mid-Mississippi Valley, Memphis, and into the Ohio Valley as well with some rain. By Monday, it gets into the Northeast with some heavy rain, not just here to clean the air, but eventually to the fires as well. David?
Appreciate it, Rob, all week long. Thank you. Tonight, the prime suspect in the disappearance of Natalie Holloway appearing before a judge in Alabama, Yoren Vandersloot, pleading not guilty to extortion and wire fraud. Holloway's mother was sitting just two rows behind him. He's accused of trying to extort money from her in exchange for information leading to her daughter's body. Authorities say he was the last person to see Holloway alive.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Tonight, the Florida neighbor accused of shooting and killing a mother of four has been granted bond. Susan Lawrence has pleaded not guilty to manslaughter, among other charges. And tonight, in newly released 911 calls, we hear her say that she had an altercation with that mother's children, and then the mother came to her door.
Oh, my God, this lady just tried to break down my door. I didn't know what to do. I grabbed my gun and I just shot at the door.
Police say Lawrence then fired a single shot through her locked front door, shooting that mother in the chest and killing her. Tonight here, a horrible reminder of the danger of rip currents. This evening, it's being blamed for a family tragedy along the New Jersey shore. Authorities say a father drowned trying to save his teenage daughter. She was pulled out to sea, her father jumping in to save her. He needed to be pulled out himself. He later died at the hospital. Rescuers were able to get to the daughter to save her.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Finally tonight here, America Strong, the pre-K class and their most important lesson of all, the power of friendship. Tonight in Brooksville, Florida, one little boy and his surprise. Kason Johns is 5 years old. He was a student at Chakachati Elementary School before moving with his family several hours away. But his friends, his entire classroom was never the same, and they never forgot about their friend Kason. And at the end of the school year, the teachers had an idea. What if Kason could return to that classroom for his friends? And this is the moment the kindergartners, making it to the end of their school year, got to see their friend again. That friend Roman running first, and the embrace. One by one, hugging Kason. And right here tonight.
Hi, David. My name's Kason.
Kason and his mom, Christy, on the surprise and the sweet reunion.
The hugs are so cozy. I get to see all of my friends.
Being there and seeing it live, up close and personal, was definitely worth it to see my kid being greeted in such a loving way.
Kason and his surprise, hugging his friends one by one. Kason came back. The power of friendship tonight. I'll see you Monday. From all of us here, have a good evening. Good night.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table.
What is happening here?
It's just beautiful chaos.
Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view.
To be honest, I was thinking about asking him for a foot massage, and then I just froze.
This is the best gig on TV.
And you know, anything can happen.
That is what we do here.
I'm not going to lie, the chair's a little small for my behind.
The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.